The text on which the teaching is based today is Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15. We're stepping out of our regular series in Romans today. And this has been an unusual Sunday, right? We've heard from the missionaries. We heard about the mission team. This has been great because we've seen how God is using these people in different places where he's put them to be a light for him. And I had a feeling that these missions moments were going to go a little long. And so I've shortened my message that I'm going to give you today to only 1 hour. Just kidding. I want to briefly share with you this passage in Colossians. Let's pray and then we'll look at this together. And if you didn't bring your Bible today, grab the pew Bible in front of you and so you can follow along. I don't have bullet points on the slides for you to follow, but you'll be able to follow as we go through the text together. Let's pray. Dear God, we want to thank you for your love and grace, and we pray that you would speak to us through your word right now. Thanks for giving us your word and that your word is true, and I pray that you would speak to us, give us understanding to know and comprehend what you've said, but we also pray that you give us faith and give us obedience. Help us to obey what you've said too, and we ask for your help in this, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. In September, we're going to have a baptism service outside Hopeville Pond, September the 8th, and what I like to do in the summer, and we'll talk more about this next week, is give you some teaching about what baptism means, because this is a highlight in the life of our church to get together when people are going to be baptized, and we celebrate what God has done in their lives. We affirm the spiritual reality that they've been born again and been saved, and that they have the eternal life, the same eternal life that we have for all of us who've believed in Christ. You know, to me, like, the highlights of the year are, you know, Christmas, Easter, and baptism. You know, these are really high points in our time, in our year as a community of faith here. I want us, as we look at this passage, to understand one aspect of baptism, that is what it represents. What is the symbolism of baptism? And we'll see that in this passage. The baptism isn't the main focus of this text, but it's mentioned, and I just want to focus in on Paul, the same writer that wrote Romans that we've been going through, what he says about baptism in this passage. And I want to encourage you, if you are a believer in Christ and you haven't been baptized, to try to understand what this is about and consider being baptized, and you can talk to me about that. We already have one couple that's going to be baptized. And this is really cool. A couple in their 80s are going to be baptized in September. And if they can do it, if they're that brave to make a public profession of faith, if you're a believer in Christ and you haven't been baptized as a believer, I want to encourage you to be too. So let me read the text. This is Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him, who is head over every ruler and authority. You were circumcised in him with a circumcision not done with hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him, that is, in Christ. This is God's word. What Paul starts with is this command here at the very beginning. He says, just as you received Christ, and he's talking to believers in Christ who have received him, meaning that they've placed their faith in him, and they've accepted this confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for our sins, that he's been raised from the dead, that he's the Lord over the universe, that he's coming again. They believe this, that Jesus is Lord, that he's the King, that he has our first allegiance. Okay, they've accepted this. He says, since you've been saved, since you've accepted this, since you have eternal life, since this is true for you, stay in it, continue in it, hold on to it, continue to walk in it. The word that's translated in our text that says continue to live in him literally means to walk. Continue to walk in him. And so he says you're rooted in him like a tree. You know, your roots go down deep. And you're rooted in Christ. You've received this teaching of the gospel. You're rooted in him. You're built up in him like a building. You're established in him. Okay? And you've been taught these things. So stay in it. Continue to walk in him, and you're overflowing with gratitude for what Christ has done. And then he talks about what the opposite of continuing in him would be. That would be if you were taken captive through philosophies and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. So the Colossian believers are being bombarded with false teaching. They're being bombarded with philosophies of the world, empty philosophies of the world. And Paul is encouraging them, don't get taken off track by this false teaching that doesn't put Christ first, okay? That's not the gospel that you are a sinner and you need to be saved by grace through faith, only by Christ's work, not your own work. Don't be taken off track by this false teaching. Don't be taken captive by it, like kidnapped by it is what the word means. Or like you're taken prisoner in a war. Don't be taken captive by the false teaching. And we have false teachings coming at us too, right? Just the whole culture tells us something that's not the gospel and tries to get us to live according just to the empty deceit, the empty philosophies of the world. Just the general worldview and mindset that you live for yourself. You don't live for God. That's what everybody does. That's what our culture teaches us, that God is not important. Maybe he doesn't exist. And then there's a sort of complacency that, well, I'm sure everything will work out in the end, that even if I don't put God first, he's fine with that, you know. And then there's also this anxiety in the culture that says, And it's usually not thought of in spiritual terms, like, am I going to have eternal life or not? But it's like, is my life going to have meaning? Is my life worth something? Am I going to be loved? Am I going to be important? Am I going to be successful? And I have to work and work and work and make this happen. It's all about me. That's sort of like the philosophy of the world. And we're told something different, right? We're told that our lives have meaning because we're loved by God, you know? And we're sinners, we can't save ourselves, but Christ did what we need for us. He died for our sins and rose again. And we trust in him, and we have eternal life in him. And then now that we've received his Spirit, we have the power to live for him and not live for ourselves. You know, so we need to hold on to this and stay on track. He says, the fullness of the deity lives in Christ. Like, God is in Jesus is fully God. And then he is in us. You know, so we, the fullness of God is in Christ, and then Christ is in us, we who believe, and that should give us confidence to hold on and to stay faithful to Him and not worry that some evil power is going to take us down or that we're not going to be able to hold steady. We can be faithful because He is working in us. The fullness of God is in Christ, and Christ is in us. Okay, and so we're going to hold on to Him, and we're going to trust in the supremacy of Christ above anything else. Okay, and we're grateful for what God has done, and because we're grateful to Him for what He's done for us, we're going to be able to hold on and stay. Continue to walk in what we've received. Paul uses four different metaphors, four different symbols to talk about what God has done for us in Christ, and I'm going to mention these really quick, okay? The first one is he talks about circumcision. Now, this isn't something, a rite that Christians do necessarily. It's a Jewish rite, but he says, you've been circumcised with a circumcision not done by human hands. So you are circumcised of the heart. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells the people of Israel, you know, speaking for God, that there is going to be a time when your hearts are going to be circumcised. You're going to be identified with God in your heart, and you're going to want to obey Him, and you're going to be able to obey Him because God is working in you. You're going to be able to keep the covenant, you know, because the people of Israel weren't able to keep the covenant. And this is true for us in Christ, that our hearts are changed so that we identify with Him and we want to follow Him. So that's the first symbol that he uses is the symbol of circumcision, which isn't literally true for all Christians, but it's spiritually true for all Christians. The next symbol that he references here is baptism. And he says, we are buried with Christ in baptism and raised together with Him. So baptism, going into the water and coming out of the water, it's a picture of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then since we're in Him, this is true for us, that we have died to the old way of life, our old way of sin and selfishness and being captive by evil spiritual forces, and we've been made alive to Jesus, to God. We're alive in Him. We have new life, eternal life, and that old way is behind us. Death and resurrection. And now we're going to live forever because we're in Him, because we're in Christ. This is true for us. And baptism is a picture of that. And Paul assumes that all Christians in the church that he's writing to have been baptized, or that they would be baptized early in their walk with the Lord, early in coming to faith, that they would be baptized. And then the next symbol that he uses is a symbol of a canceled debt. Okay, so there's a paper that shows what you owe, and he says that's been wiped, your debt has been wiped out, and the way that it's wiped out, it's nailed to the cross, he says. So the debt that we owe God, we owe because of our sin. You know, we owe Him a debt because we've sinned against Him, but we could never pay this debt. We couldn't pay for our own sins unless we would be in hell forever, you know. Even then, it would never be paid for. But Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, paid for our sins in our place. Our debt was nailed to the cross, and so our debt is wiped out, and we're forgiven. This is the reality that this image of the piece of paper that where our certificate of indebtedness is wiped out. That's the spiritual reality behind it. And the last symbol that he uses, it's a triumphal procession. So like Roman kings would march into enemy territory and fight a war and conquer a certain territory, and they'd take their enemies captive and they'd march them back through the city of Rome. And all the Romans would be like, yay, we won. Ha ha. You've been taken captive by our king. Okay? There's the triumphal procession. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he defeated all the evil spiritual forces. And he is the victor. And they still exist, but we don't have to fear the evil spiritual forces that are behind the world system right now and all the empty philosophies. We don't have to be afraid of them anymore because Christ has conquered. He is the victor, and we are on his team. We are part of the winning side. And Jesus has defeated our worst enemies, sin, Satan, death, hell. And when he comes again, we will have the victory with him forever and ever. And we taste that even now. We taste it. If you're here today and you haven't received Christ, if you haven't trusted in him, I want to implore you to trust in him today. And all this spiritual reality that I've been describing will be true for you. You will have a heart that wants to obey him. You will be dead to the old life and alive to God. Your sin debt will be canceled. You will be forgiven. You will have eternal life. You will be on the side of the victor, the spiritual victor. This will be true to you for you if you trust in him today. And so if you haven't trusted in him, I want to just encourage you, implore you to trust him today. And if you want to talk to me about that after the service, I would love to talk to you more about that. If you are here today and you have received Christ, continue in him. Walk in him. Don't be distracted. Don't be taken away. Don't be taken captive by the empty philosophies of the world. I mean, one temptation is just the idea that my life is all about being happy and comfortable, and God just comes along to help me get what I want already, right? Instead of saying, Jesus is Lord, and my life is about honoring him. Don't be taken captive by the empty philosophies. They lead to nowhere. Stay in him. Continue in him. If you've received him, continue in him. And if you're here today and you've received him and you haven't yet been baptized, I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love for you to make a public confession of your faith in Christ by being baptized. Baptism is a symbol of what Christ has done for us. And this is standard. This is normal. This is the way Christians, this is our first step of obedience in following Christ, is to be baptized. And so I want to encourage you to be baptized, and I'd love to talk to you about that more. And I'll be talking more about that next Sunday, about what baptism is and what it means. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, and I want to just encourage your people today here through your word. I pray that you'd build us up, and we thank you for what you're doing. And I want to pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.